Good morning, Christ Church family and friends. Good to be with you, to worship with you today. You might see this mask on me. I don't normally wear a mask, especially when nobody's around. But I'm just wearing it this morning to remind me and all of you that, boy, it's going to be nice when we can take these things off and not have to worry about social distancing anymore. That day may be a while in coming, but we're so grateful and thankful that God is with us and we're going to get through this mess. So I just encourage you to think about that and to focus on this thing is going to come to an end at some point. And then we're going to be able to be back together. And I'm a hugger, boy. I love hugging folks. Some of you like social distancing, but you know, it's not for me. So we look forward to that day. And I want to mention this. Later this afternoon, from 4 to 6, we're going to do a floating prayer parade. And I just want to invite you to come on out. If you hadn't seen some faces in a while, come out and join us. Drive around the campus here, and there's going to be some spots where you can find some folks. So I want to invite you to come to do that. Hey, I'm out here today by the kids' playground, sort of as a way of thinking about family, you know. And we're in this series right now called Four Foundations for the Family. And last week we talked about praying mothers and the importance of parents who pray and trust in God. That's such a valuable key for a healthy family unit. And today, we're in the second foundation, and that is loving relationships. Now, there is so much that I want to say to you that this is actually going to be a two-part sermon. So I'm going to preach the first part for this week, and then the second part we'll get to next week. You know, as I was thinking about the family, I know that the family has been a great source of joy. But it's also been a great source of anxiety and a great source of humor. Comedians for years have made the family the butt of jokes. And, you know, I thought maybe today would be fun just for us to think about some of those jokes. And so I sort of went back in some time. There are some great old comedians whose humor was so clean I could use it for a sermon. So George Burns, his one-liner was this: happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another city. The great Bob Hope, his one-liner was this: I grew up with six brothers. That's how I learned to dance, waiting for the bathroom. Some of you can empathize with that. The great female comedian, Irma Bombeck, she said the advantage of having only one child is that you always know who did it. Boy, doesn't that suck for the single child? You always know who did it. You can't skip out on that one. And Buddy Hackett, his one-liner was this: as a child, my family's menu consisted of two choices, take it or leave it. And some of you grew up in that kind of place too. David Frost, his one-liner was, having a child makes you a parent. Having two makes you a referee. And a lot of you are experiencing that right now. Margaret Lawrence said, in some families, please is described as the magic word. In our house, however, it was sorry. Yeah, I think some of us have experienced that too. What makes these one-liners so funny is that they're based on truth. We can identify with them. They sound familiar to us. Family is something we all have an opinion about. We've all experienced it. And the problem is that often family is a struggle. It isn't always funny. When the kids are screaming and our head is about to explode, it's hard to see the humor in that. When the bills are piling up and they have another emergent need, there's no fun in that. When personalities are clashing and voices are rising, nobody is laughing. When we feel like there's no respect and fractures are occurring, life becomes hard. You see, every family goes through stuff like this. My family goes through this stuff. We all have to deal with the imperfections of the other people in our families, just like they have to deal with our imperfections. You know, it is humbling as a parent to have to apologize to your children for an angry outburst. And I have to admit, I've done that. It is sobering to realize that your children are just like you in some ways, and not only in the best ways. And I've had to come to grips with that reality as well. My wife and children have seen me at my best, but they've also seen me at my worst. So let's face it, family can be hard. So in this series of messages, I want to speak to you as a family member. I want to talk with you about some things we need to make sure our families are doing so that we are healthy and we're strong. When you are a child, you aren't necessarily thinking about these things. And so if you're there with your parents, you're probably not thinking the way they're thinking. But as a parent or a grandparent, these things become paramount. Now, last week, we spoke about, again, the importance of praying mothers and praying fathers. And we also talked about integrity and compassion and joy. As parents, we need to show our children these values, these godly characteristics. We need to instill them in our children, and especially the power of prayer. And I would say at this time, as everybody's dealing with this COVID-19 virus, we need to understand and appreciate the power of prayer. Today, I want to talk to you about the glue that will keep a family together, even through tough times like these. And this is the simple idea. Love is the glue that keeps a family together. Now, it may seem too simple, but the truth of this statement is very deep. In order to understand it, we have to understand the true meaning of love and the paradox of love. The paradox is that you must not only love your spouse, your children, your parents, your family, but you have to love God above everything else. And in fact, the paradox is that we are not to love our children and our parents, our family, more than we love God. You must not love your spouse, your children, your parents, your family, more than you love God. This is a foundational truth that each member of the family needs to understand. Our relationship with God is foundational to a healthy family. In fact, and this is our first thought, the love for God is the core foundation of a healthy family. Our love for God is the core relationship for us to be spiritually, emotionally, mentally healthy. And yet statistics say that most people choose their family over God. There was a Barna Group research done in 2007 that found that 7 out of 10 adults choose their earthly family over their heavenly father when asked to choose the most important relationship to them. Of the 1,004 adults over the age of 18 that were surveyed, 1/3 said their entire nuclear family is more important than God. 22% named their spouse as the most important relationship in their life. 17% said their children were the chief relationship, and 3% identified their parents as the most important relationship in their lives. That sort of hurts as a parent, doesn't it? Only 3%. But imagine how God must feel. Interestingly, when asked to identify the most important group or network in their life, 29% named their church. Now, this is why Jesus said something that to many people doesn't make sense. In Luke 14:26, Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." Now, what in the world is Jesus saying? He wants us to hate people? No, that's not the meaning of that. In the context, Jesus is speaking about in comparison to the way we love God. We place our love for God above all other relationships. And sometimes others may want to be number one, and they become jealous that we love God more. And so they feel like we hate them, but it isn't true. We simply love God the way He wants us to. Years ago, there was a young lady that was in my campus ministry group, and she wanted to go on a mission trip, and I think spend a semester or a summer on the mission field. Now, her parents were both members of a church that I knew of. They went to church every Sunday, but when she went home and told them that she was wanting to do this, she felt like God wanted her to do this, their response was this: "How could you do that to us?" In other words, they were making her choose between them and God. Well, that doesn't fit well with what God tells us. In Deuteronomy 6:5, even the Ten Commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. In fact, 7 times in Deuteronomy, we are told to love the Lord your God. When asked about the greatest commandment, Jesus quoted that verse in Matthew 22:37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Joshua understood that loving God was the core of the family relationship when he set this example. In Joshua 24:15, he said, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You see, loving God and serving God are a choice that we have to make for our families. Joshua made that choice for his family. It was a choice, I hope, that each of us makes for our families. You see, our love for God will determine the way we love every other person in our life. To truly love God will mean that we will love others deeper than we could without God. This is important in the family unit. Only when I love God at the core of my being can I love others in my life with an unconditional love. Kurt Lundgren wrote, "First, the Ten Commandments, then Jesus, make it very clear that there are 2 kinds of important relationships for human beings. One is a relationship between human beings and God, and the other is a relationship between human beings. The way we treat each other is a reflection of what we think of Him." Andrew Murray put it this way: "My relationship with God is part of my relationship with men. Failure in one will cause failure in the other." I have with me a coin, just a simple coin. And this coin has 2 sides to it. There is a side that we look at as heads, and there's a side that we look at as tails, and we'll flip that coin and we'll say heads or tails. But no matter what side of that coin you look at, the truth is, it's still the same coin. Now, this is the way it is with our love for God and our love for others. If I love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, I will also have the capacity to love others unconditionally. But if I do not love God above all else, I will never have the full capacity to love others unconditionally. It is our love for God that drives that well deep. Now, it may seem paradoxical, but the truth is that when we love God first, we will love others properly. And in the family, the primary relationship is the husband and wife. Now, that brings us to that second thought. First thought is that we must love God above all others. That relationship is the core relationship in the family unit. But the second thought is this: the primary human relationship in the family is that of husband and wife. Now, I have seen some families that get confused by this. When children are born into the family, the wife and the husband make the children the primary relationship, and often the parents grow apart. The children become the center of everything. Mom and dad put all their energy into pleasing the kids, and then mom and dad tend to drift apart. They become husband and wife, or they became husband and wife because they loved each other. But many times after children come, they begin to focus their love and attention on the children to the point that they end up neglecting each other. And after the children grow up and move out, mom and dad are left trying to figure out, who is this person that I'm living with, that I've been with for 20 some years? And that's why we see so many husbands and wives splitting up after 20, 25, and 30 years of marriage. It's because they drifted apart. They didn't pour into each other. They made the relationship with the kids the primary relationship. They spent so much time chasing after the kids and all these extracurriculars, these sporting events and, you know, other things, that they didn't pour into each other. And yet Scripture says this in Genesis 2:24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." You know, this family unit between a husband and wife is to take precedence over every other human relationship. That includes our own parents, our mothers and fathers. It includes our children. It includes our siblings, whoever else it may be. Two people have become joined together as one. There is no other human relationship described in that way in Scripture. We cleave to each other. We cling to each other. We hold on to each other. There is no other person on the planet who will fight for you the way your spouse should fight for you. That's why Scripture makes such a point of this primary human relationship. In Ephesians 5:33, we read, "However, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." You see, friends, God's intention is that the relationship between the husband and wife reflect the relationship between Christ and his church. We must not let anything come between us. Jesus said in Mark 10:9, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Marriage between a husband and wife is a holy union. It is not just a legal or a social event. The Christian husband and wife understand the significance of that. To illustrate that, I've often used this thing we call a triangle of love. Maybe you can see this pretty good. I have here this triangle, and we have at the top of the triangle God. And we have at the bottom of the triangle the husband and the wife. And as the husband draws nearer to God, and as the wife draws nearer to God, what they are doing is they are drawing closer to each other. The problem is, if the husband isn't drawing nearer to God, if he's going off on his own, or the wife is going off on her own, even if one of them is drawing nearer to God, they're not going to come closer to each other. But again, if both are drawing closer to God, I believe that both will be drawn closer to each other. That is, I think, a great illustration of the importance of making God the centerpiece and the core of the relationship. But I believe this to be true. The closer we come to God, the closer we get to each other, as long as each of us is drawing closer. If we're not making God the core relationship, and we have failed to make the relationship of husband and wife the primary human relationship, we're going to have some significant problems. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12, the scripture tells us that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. What does that mean? Well, in the context, he said, hey, if one falls down, it might be harder to get up. If one falls in the pit, it might be hard to get out. If one is cold, it might be hard to stay warm. But with two, it is easier. So in the context of the family unit, that husband and wife are the two. So what is the third cord? What is the third strand in that cord? You know, it's easier to break a cord that has only two strands. But when you add that third strand, it makes that cord a little harder to break. A marriage is easier to break apart when it's just the man and the woman. But when God is at the core of that, it is harder to break apart. So moms and dads, if you want the healthiest family relationship you can have, make sure that God is at the core of that and that you and your spouse pour into each other. Don't just do activities for the kids. Have time for each other. Make time to be alone. Have a date night. Have times for intimacy. Show the kids that you love each other and that you're not on different pages. You are together. You are one as a husband and wife. That is the healthiest thing that your children can see. And make sure you talk about things with each other. Finances, discipline, faith. Support each other. Don't undermine each other. You see, friends, if our families are going to be strong, we have to remember God is the core relationship. And the relationship between husband and wife is the primary human relationship that you need to be developing. And our relationship with God is going to determine the way we treat all other people and all other relationships. If you aren't right with God, you won't be right with other people, especially those people in your family. Now, Jesus came so that we could get that relationship right with God. In fact, I believe Jesus came so we not only our relationship with God, but with other people. Now, today, as we come to a conclusion of my message and we enter into some time of communion, we're reminded that our Heavenly Father so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Friends, God has done everything he can to reach out to us and to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sin. He was selfless so that he could save us from our selfishness. His desire is that we would be a part of his family. And I hope that you have made that choice. If you haven't, I hope that you will contact us and let us talk about that choice with you. But we are here today to remember the sacrifice of Christ so that we could become a part of the family of God, so that we could become his children. Why don't you take a moment and think about that? Think about the significance of the family of God, your place in that family, the fact that you couldn't even be a part of that family without Jesus and without God's loving you and being willing to forgive you and welcome you in. Talk with your family about these things that we've discussed today. And then read 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 25. We'll have a few moments after I'm done here so that you can look over that. Remember, friends, we love you, and we hope to see you soon. And be sure to come out to the church campus this afternoon between 4 and 6 for our floating prayer parade around the church building. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, and we're so thankful and grateful for your wonderful love for us. And Father, as we enter into this time of communion, we are just reminded of your wonderful love and sacrifice of Jesus. We know that you did that so that we could have a right relationship with you so that we could be in your family. You love us that much. Even though we have sinned, even though we have neglected you, you still want us. And so, Father, we come to you and we worship you as the core relationship in our life and in our families. And Father, we do recognize that your word teaches us that the mother and the father, the husband and the wife, are the primary human relationships in the family unit. Help us to remember that as we try and strive to be the men and women you want us to be. So God, right now, help us just to focus and think about the sacrifice of Christ. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you.